Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, we often assume that we're on track for retirement because, after all, we got a 401k, maybe a pension, we've got Social Security coming someday, so we must be covered, right? Well, not exactly. Today we're going to break down a few of the most common misconceptions that could derail your retirement if you're not careful.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. My name's Steve Siddall. We've got a great show planned for you today. Kevin has been an investment advisor helping folks get into and through retirement for more than 30 years. Find out more at silverleaffinancial.com. And again, we'll just kind of dig in from there. Kevin, what's going on?
Oh, you know what? All sorts of things happening here. We've got a crazy stock market. We've got a market going up in the face of the tariffs. We've got great company earnings. If you have the right tech stocks in your portfolio, and we want to make sure we're talking about retirement. Guys, we've talked about Social Security plenty of times before. I've said on the air several times that I believe with the massive debt that our government is continuing to run and the amount of money they continue to borrow, that they're going to be forced to cut Social Security when the reserves run out. So the payroll taxes coming in will cover about 80%, but there's about a 20% shortfall. And so, as far as I can tell, they're too busy distracting us with other things to keep your eye off of Jeffrey Epstein. They're not even talking about Social Security and Medicare, all right? And so what I am advising everybody to do is plan on a 20% cut. Whatever you're seeing on the Social Security website, whatever you're seeing on their benefits estimates, imagine them being cut by 20%. And then as you put together your budgeting and your income planning for retirement, use that as a number. And then if they don't cut it, if they miraculously figure out some way to fix it, then you've got extra cash. But if you do it the opposite way, and you assume it's all going to be there, and they cut it, you might wind up in a world of hurt, right? So I would rather take the conservative approach, just expect that it's going to get cut. And that way you can do your planning for having a reduced Social Security check. And if it turns out better, fantastic. Let's have a party. All right.
Sure.
But I don't want to take a chance that we all plan on that being there in its entirety, and then we get the rug pulled out from under us, and then they're saying, "Oh my God, what do we do now?"
Right. All right?
Let's just plan for the worst, hope for the best. Okay. But know that your Social Security is not going to cover everything. Right. The average check right now is less than $2,000 a month, and most couples need about $4,000 a month minimum if they have everything paid for. So. And that's not taking big trips to Europe. It's not buying expensive gifts for the grandkids. It's just living, going out to lunch once or twice a week, taking a vacation once a year, and living a modest retirement.
Just being normal.
They still have fun, right? They still have fun. They enjoy it.
Sure.
But it's not extravagant, right? And personally, I'd be very comfortable with that. I did a lot of traveling when I was younger, and to be honest, I don't really like flying anymore. I think it's too much of a hassle. So I'd rather drive. And so, and you can save a lot of money doing it too, right? So one of the things that that some people will tell me is they're like, Kevin, I'm in my 50s. I feel like it's too late. It's too late to, you know, to start planning and saving money.
So they just throw up their arms and then what?
Right? What do you? Yeah. How is that going to help you? How is that going to help you? Right? You know, I think it's important that you look at it. Obviously, if you can start in your 20s and you stick with it, that's awesome. That is fantastic.
Obviously, sure. But we don't do that.
How
we're
many
human
people
beings.
Do
we don't do that. Exactly. Well, good for
right?
you.
How
if
many
you
people
did.
Do
I
that?
Well, yeah.
And if you do, how many actually stick with it? Right?
Well, that too.
How many stick with it? How many of them don't take the money out to help out their kids or help out their grandkids?
Well, there you go. That too.
For another unexpected expense, right? The number of people that actually start in their 20s, stick with it systematically and consistently, and never take it out prematurely, I think is a low number, all right? We would like it to be higher, which is why, you know, these billionaires come out and they say, you know, let's give every kid $1,000 and all this. They're going to find a way to screw it up, though, and the government, I mean. And I think it's I don't think we necessarily want to turn have the government responsible for everything, right? And I think you know, that I'm not thrilled with that idea of giving all, you know, taxing us more money and giving each kid $1,000.
Right.
You know, but it's never too late to start saving. You know, even if you start in your 50s, you can still save your money and contribute. And now we've got some good catch-up provisions for people that are older. You can put more money in your 401k. You can put more money in the HSA, the health savings account. If you take advantage of those, you can be putting over $30,000 a year into a 401k if you're in your 50s. Right? $30,000. If you do that for 10 years, you got a nice little nest egg there, right?
Oh, of course you do. Yes.
So it's never too late. Start as soon as you can and stick with it. Don't let anything derail you from taking care of your retirement. All right? The other thing is about Medicare. A lot of people, you know, apparently we appointed somebody that didn't know the difference between Medicare and Medicaid, which I don't know how the hell that happened. But Medicare is the health program for people 65 and over, generally speaking.
Yes.
Medicaid is a health assistance program for people that are on the lower end of the income scale. If you're receiving Medicare, you want to sign up for it 2 to 3 months before you turn 65, because if you don't sign up for Medicare on time, unless you have a good reason why, you know, that there are justifications, they are going to forever charge you higher. They're going to assess a penalty. That's not a one-time penalty. It's not a penalty for 1 year. It's a lifetime penalty, where for the rest of your life, you're paying higher premiums than you should have because you signed up late.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it's a big old slap across the wrist, I guess.
Right.
And saying, you were bad, you didn't sign up on time, now we're going to charge you more. All right? So make sure you're thinking about these things as it approaches, because Medicare is complicated. There's a lot of different features to it. You've got a whole different sub-area with Medicare Part C, which are your Medicare Advantage plans, which is what ties together the Medicare benefit with private insurance companies, which, according to Scott Bessent, our Treasury Secretary, is the backdoor way of converting everybody's Social Security to private accounts. He said that. So they know they've got a problem with Social Security. The question is how it's going to wind up for the public. So I think it's important when you're looking at Medicare, I think the first thing you should evaluate is whether you're a candidate for a Medicare Advantage plan or whether you want to stick with traditional Medicare. All right. So traditional Medicare is Part A and Part B. And then I would recommend you buy a supplement, right? Because the Medicare is going to cover 80%. You're on the hook for the other 20. So you get a Medicare supplement plan to cover the other 20. And some of them will cover your out-of-pockets, your deductibles, things like that too. And then you get a prescription drug plan, which is your Part D. Okay, so what I've looked at, in my estimates, a married couple is probably going to be spending $800 or $900 a month if you do all of the above, all right? So you get Medicare Part A and B, you get a supplement plan, you get a Part D, and I'm forecasting by the time I've got 5 years before I'm on Medicare, I'm anticipating $1,000 a month expenses between me and my wife. That's just what I'm budgeting for. So it's important that we include that in your budget, because you know that a 65-year-old couple is expected to spend over $679,000 over the lifetime for healthcare costs.
Wow. Right? And even when you stretch that out over time, that's still a lot of money every year.
It's still a lot of money, right?
Yes.
And No, it is a lot of money. Now, they're talking about everything, right?
Yeah, of
course. And what they're doing is they're putting it all as an aggregate number to scare you and maybe and draw attention to this.
Well,
you
but
can't
it works.
Take it, for granted. It does work. It does work,
and,
right?
And it's a good point to make, I think.
I think it's a great point to make because we all know, if you think about it, we all know health care and medical costs generally rise faster than inflation, right?
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes.
And with everything that's just happened with the administration and this big, ugly bill that is reducing money going to Medicaid, there's already hospitals announcing closures in Nebraska within a week after they signed that bill into law. So rural hospitals are going to start to disappear. And that means people in rural areas are going to have to drive farther to get health care, or they're just not going to get it. And so what I'm getting at is it seems to me that's reducing the supply of medical providers. And if you reduce the supply of anything, I feel like the price has got to go higher. And isn't that basic
logical
supply and demand?
I think you got it.
And that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. There's a lot more areas that don't have enough doctors. A lot of areas, like here, if you want to get an appointment at the Mayo Clinic, this takes you 6 months to get an appointment, to get in there, just to see a doctor. And it's not something that's getting better. So in terms of Medicare, if you have the ability to set up an HSA, a health savings account,
right,
you have to have a high deductible health insurance plan. If you're self-employed or you have input on your insurance plan, maybe take a look at that, because an HSA is the only truly triple tax-free account. In other words, the money goes in tax-free, it grows tax-free, and it comes out tax-free as long as you use it for qualifying health care expenses. And you can put in, a family can put in over, if you're over 50, you can put in over $8,000 a year to an HSA plan. You can do it all the way up until you join Medicare. So that would give you 15 years, $8,000 a year, you could put in $120,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would all be tax-free money. Now, if you do it like I do it, I've got my HSA for me and my wife is in a brokerage account. I've got Bitcoin in my HSA, okay?
Okay.
That's what I'm using. I buy my high-risk, high-return investments. I do those in tax-free accounts. Now, it could also mean because it's high risk that I have big losses. That happens too, all right? My goal is to get the maximum growth I can out of my tax-free accounts, so I do my most aggressive investing in my tax-free accounts. Now, that's an individual preference,
sure,
but I just want to give you guys that idea. You can invest in stocks and bonds and virtually anything you can invest in your IRA, in an IRA account. You can invest in an HSA account.
Boy,
and
people
you don't
are
have
so
take...
not aware of that, are they, Kevin? I mean,
I've
talked to a couple
of
different people, and they're jaw dropped.
I'm sorry?
They're jaw dropped when I explained just what you explained. When I told people that, or told this friend that, his jaw dropped, and it's like, holy cow, who knew?
And the thing is, if you're as smart as somebody like Peter Thiel, right?
Yeah.
He invested in, what was it, PayPal? He put
That's
in
what
a
it was,
Roth IRA.
PayPal, yep.
That's now worth, what, $1 billion or something?
Something like that.
So this is another billionaire. He was a co-founder of PayPal, along with, what, Elon Musk and whoever else.
Right.
And Thiel is just like these other guys that have went on, like just like Musk has went on to create these other things. Peter Thiel went on to then, I believe, is also the co-founder of Palantir.
Right? Really? Okay,
which has been a massive hit.
Yes, of course.
And he's went on to make fortunes in several other areas, is my point. He figured it out very early on, like back in the 90s or something.
Yeah.
That, hey, I can use this Roth IRA, and this it can really help me out. So can you imagine that, having $1 billion in a tax-free account? just makes me, makes me happy when I think about that. Granted, that's not me, all right? But a health savings account is something you can put the money into every year, but you don't have to spend it down every year.
Yes,
the government
key.
Lets you let it grow. In fact, you can do like I'm doing, pay for every bill, pay for your medical expenses. You can use HSA for chiropractic, for dental, for vision, for hearing, from all your doctor visits, your dental visits, braces. You can use it for orthopedic shoes. You can use it for devices. There's the category range is big, okay? So if you don't think you're going to have enough medical expenses that you need the HSA, I would say maybe you want to think again about that first,
okay?
All right? But if you don't, you get all the tax breaks. If you wait till you're 65 to take the money out, then it's treated just like an IRA account. If you don't use it for medical expenses, you just have to pay the tax. just like you would with an IRA account, right? It grew tax deferred. You take it out. Now you got to pay tax.
Sure.
So it's just like another IRA account, right? But if you're smart enough to use it for medical expenses and you keep your receipts like me and my wife are doing, so medical procedures that I've had done, a root canal I had done.
I was going to say, you spent some time with a dentist in the last couple of years.
Oh, God, too much time with a dentist. I spent so much time looking at that ceiling in the dentist's office. And I keep telling them, when are you guys going to put a television on the ceiling? All right? I actually rented an apartment in Brazil over 20 years ago, and the guy had the foresight to put the television on the ceiling in the bedroom.
That's hysterical.
That's a great idea, man.
It is.
So anyway, yes, I have a lot of dental bills, but what the government lets you do is you can collect all of these bills, and what I'm planning on doing is when I'm in my 70s and I've got another 10, 15 years of growth out of this account, maybe when I'm 75, I'll say, you know what, I'm going to pull $20,000 out of my HSA. Here's all the bills. Here's all the receipts. I can show it, prove it to the IRS, and now I got $20,000 tax-free I can use for anything I want, all right, because I've got the documentation to prove it's legitimate. And the government lets you do that. Check the IRS if you'd have any doubts, all right? I have fully researched all this, and that's what I'm doing with me and my wife.
That is so amazing to hear that, and that's the message that needs to get out there because so many of us have HSAs. Let's take advantage.
Oh, guys, if you have access to an HSA, please take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. You know, everyone raves about a Roth IRA, all right? If you understand it, you should love a Roth IRA. Right, I love paying the tax now because I know I'm never going to pay a dime on tax on that money again for the rest of my life, and I have no doubt tax rates are going higher. All right, we're going to be over $40 trillion in debt within a handful of years. You can't tell me income tax rates are not going higher. At some point, we're going to have an administration that actually cares about getting our debt down, and they're going to raise income tax rates. So that's why I advocate tax-free accounts is because at some point, the administration is going to start cutting programs, and they're going to start raising taxes, or we're going to have a depression like we've never seen before. So my plan is to try to insulate myself and my clients as much as we can so that we're in a strong enough position that no matter what the hell happens in Washington, we're okay. That's my advice. So let's try to do everything we can to build up the tax-free accounts. Make sure you sign up for Medicare on time so you're not paying a penalty for the rest of your life, right? Keep saving money even when you are retired and focus on what you can control. And I think that worrying about Social Security, although I worry about it all the time, I worry about everything financial all the time. I'm kind of tired of it, but it really doesn't do any good because we can't fix it unless you're in Congress. You can't fix it, and most of the people in Congress don't seem to give a damn about anything other than what the president wants these days. So I think it's important we do everything we can to make sure we're set and we don't have to, and that we don't get hurt if the government decides they screwed up and they start cutting these programs.
Right.
The other thing is that you want to make sure a lot of people think that their spouse is just automatically going to inherit everything because they're married.
Yeah, that's a real big mistake.
It's a big, big mistake, guys, and you, especially if anybody's been remarried. If anybody is divorced and you've gotten married again, you really need to go back to your old accounts and look at who you set up as beneficiaries. Because in most cases, the divorced spouse is the beneficiary of that 401k you set up back when you were in your 20s. All right? So go back and look at those accounts because beneficiary designations on retirement accounts supersede any will. All right? The beneficiary designation is going to be the determining factor. If your will says one thing and the beneficiary designation on the plan says something else, it's going to who's ever named on that plan document. Okay? That has been through the court process. So check with your attorney if you don't believe me. My suggestion is to update and make sure all your beneficiaries are updated to how you currently want them. If you have any divorces in your past, those are the cases that I've seen the most where people forget to update something. And especially if you have children from previous marriages and or a current marriage, you know, so you've got like yours, mine, and ours, those can be very complicated with beneficiaries too. So in those situations, it's important for people in those situations to stay up to date on all of these designations. If you don't have somebody named on these accounts, a lot of times they'll just go to probate. And that's when it's going to cost your family money, and it's going to cost them time, because those things don't get resolved immediately. They can take years to get resolved.
Oh, we hear about it all the time when celebrities, you know, like Prince or, I mean, any number of celebrities, that goes on for years.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does for sure. Like we're hearing it on, Gene Hackman. I'm hearing
right.
about
oh,
his.
Oh, yeah, right.
Right? And I'm hearing it about, there's another one. I can't think of who it is. Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, yeah, that's a big hassle now.
That's a big one. That's like $250, $260 million.
Yeah.
And the wife is having a hell of a time. And I don't know the details, but sometimes people set up trust accounts and they're trying to protect somebody and it winds up screwing them. So, you want to make sure you understand everything you're putting in place. Don't just trust your attorney to write it up properly. Make sure you understand it. And that way you make sure that your beneficiary gets what you want them to get. But make sure you've got people named, for your beneficiaries. Sometimes somebody will forget to change. They'll have a deceased individual. It could be named as a beneficiary. That's going to wind up going to probate. Okay.
Huh.
So we want to make sure you stay on top of those things. And know that your 401k probably is not going to be enough. Now, maybe it will. It depends on how much you contribute. But the average default rates are in the 3-5% range. So if you're contributing 3 or 4%, chances are you're going to need a little bit extra in your retirement. You know, in addition to what's going to be a smaller Social Security check. And so I think we want to take a look at that, make sure you've got everything in place, and don't make the assumption that you're going to spend less money in retirement than you do while you're working. A lot of people actually tell me they spend more, and almost all of them tell me they have no idea how they had time to work because they're so busy now.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like my sister. That's what she says.
That's exactly what they say. Like, I don't know how I had time to work. I'm busy all the time.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Steve, being busy isn't usually free, right?
Well, exactly.
You know, if you're going to a movie, if you're going shopping, if you're traveling, you're playing golf, you're going skiing, you know, those have a cost. God, ski lift tickets can be over $100 a day now.
Yikes.
For anybody that's into downhill skiing. So, you know, make sure you look at these things and figure out your lifestyle and retirement. That's something we talk about a lot is, you know, you should role play. You know, like if you could take a sabbatical from work, you know, for, I don't know, 6 months or something.
Yeah.
And pretend you're retired and go through your day-to-day life. Are you bored? Are you happy? Are you enjoying yourself? A lot of people, when they work in the same job or the same career for a long time, they find that a lot of their identity is tied up in that job. And when they retire, a lot of them feel like they feel like they're lost, kind of, you know, like they don't have a purpose. And so you want to find out if you're a person like that, you want to make sure you come up with ways, right? Coping mechanisms, we would say in psychology.
Yes.
Right? Find alternative things that provide stimulation for you in a way that you want, whatever it is, right? And, you know, a lot of people like to volunteer. I know a lot of people, me and my wife used to do a lot of volunteer work with dogs at dog rescues. And we used to, we were a rescue home. So a dog would come in, didn't have a home. We would be their temporary home until we found a suitable family to adopt it. So we could keep the dog anywhere from a couple days, some of them 6, 7, 8 months. And I tell you, once they become over 6, 7, 8 months, a lot of times they wind up just staying with us forever.
Well, yeah, because, you know, you built a relationship.
Yeah, and that's how we wound up with, God, what, 7 or 8 dogs
yeah.
at one time. And that included 4 Great Danes.
Oh, well, these aren't small dogs, Kevin. Holy cow.
No, my God. You know what? I tell my wife I'm glad I wasn't paying attention to the dog food bill like I am now. Because one of my biggest one was Jagger. We named him Jagger because he had these big old floppy lips.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I like it. I like it.
Slobbered all over. He would drink water, and we'd have to come running from wherever. You hear Jagger drinking water, you need to come running from wherever you are in the house to mop up the water that he's spilling and slobbering all over the floor.
Goodness. Oh.
I'm not kidding you. We had slobber rags strategically placed all around the house.
So
you can just grab that little towel.
But a very lovable pup, huh?
Oh, my God. Well, I tell you what, if you're like me and you walk around barefoot sometimes, the last thing you want is to walk into doggy drool on the floor. All right?
Yes.
Because it is very slippery. Okay? So, anyway, who thought you'd hear about that on a finance show, right?
Who knows? Yeah, I like it.
You know what? But I tell you what, Jagger was awesome. He weighed 180 pounds. And
that's a lot
when
of
he
dog.
Stood up on his back, when he stood on his back legs, his head was above mine. And I'm about 6 feet tall.
Oh, goodness.
And he was awesome. Unfortunately, he passed away at 7 years old.
Oh, pretty young.
He was young. He was an awesome, awesome dog. But if you have pets, you should know those are very expensive too, right? And one of my dogs got sick and broke its leg. I think it was over $6,000 for me to fix its leg.
Holy God.
He broke the other leg, and I paid another $6,000 to fix that leg. And then a month later, he died. And I'm like, you know,
what?
Could I have had some divine intervention here to say, Kevin, you know, why don't you save that $12,000? Anyway, the point is, animals can be very expensive too, so we want to include that in your budget. When I sit down with people, I ask them, you know, do you have pets? Right? I had a client spend $10,000 on her 12-year-old cat, right?
Okay.
And for a surgery, and unfortunately, you know, the cat died 6 months later. So, you know, I get it. I love animals. I always have. All right, but there should be a point where, you know, maybe you make a decision. You know what? They've lived a good life. I've done everything I can to love this creature. And at this point in time, though, it just doesn't make sense maybe to spend this much more money on this animal.
Right.
And I know it's hard. I've had to do it too. But anyway, it's expensive. And so we want to make sure we've got plenty of cash to do everything we want to do and that you don't have to worry about retirement or worry if they cut Social Security. Like now, Steve, can you imagine if you're on Social Security and you need every dollar that you get, right? Which about 40% of them do, according to the research. They need every dollar they get. But now, they've been forecasting the bust on Social Security to be 2032, 7 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying it's even sooner because we're bringing in less tax revenue. We're paying more interest on our debt. And they're saying the program is going to run bust sooner. So does that mean everybody's going to get a 20% cut that's collecting their check already? How would you like to have to worry about that for the next 5, 6, 7 years? I mean, I think that would.
Oh, no, that would be terrible.
That's like torture.
Well, that's your point at the beginning of the show. That's why you're having folks plan for it now.
No, I am, but I feel bad for people that are already retired because if they're already retired, they might not have any way that they can make more money.
Yeah, true.
And so I do recommend, as you're contemplating retirement, think about things you can do to generate extra income, right? Maybe you have a part-time job. Maybe you're a creative person. Maybe you can be an online influencer, right? Who knows? Maybe you can start some sort of chat group online about, I don't know, maybe you're a woodworker or a machinist or a craftsperson of some type. Maybe you can set up a side business. You can bring in some extra revenue on the side. Maybe you could be a consultant, right? Maybe you can sell your consulting services. Anything you can do that's freelance that you can do flexible on your own hours, but you can bring in some extra money on the side to help with your income in retirement, I think is a great idea. I plan on working personally. I'm going to keep working part-time for as long as I can, hopefully into my 70s, because I know that no matter what I think I have, I'm always going to be worried about whether it's enough.
And, well, that's normal.
And you know, that's just how I'm wired. I know some people are so easygoing. They're like, it'll take care of itself. Things always work out. And I say, man, I wish I was wired that way. All right, but I'm not. I'm just not. And maybe it's because of what I've done for my life. I'm always trying to help people plan and figure out and think about all the possibilities. I'm always trying to think about an argument from six different sides. And I'm saying, all right, what am I missing here? What could go wrong with this idea, right? And what could derail this strategy? And for better or for worse, but that's my plan. So I think if you can do anything, even if you want to be a greeter at Walmart, anything that can make you some extra money. Like, for instance, my community, they hire these people that they check you in and out. Like, they check you in. You're like, you know, like you sign in to the help to the gym, and they make sure your membership's valid. They see it pop up on the screen, and they see you're paid up.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Hey, have a good workout. And they get paid $15 an hour. So something like that is very low stress, very low key. right? But if you're a friendly person, if you're an outgoing person, you like to meet new people, that'd be a great job. You just sit there and say hello to people, and you do a tiny little bit of administrative work, and they pay you. So there are jobs like that out there. They don't have to be high stress, but it can give you a little bit extra cash if you feel like you'd like to have some extra cash flow that can supplement, you know, your Social Security, because maybe you're not lucky like my father that you also had a pension plan, all right? Because most of us don't have a pension plan anymore. So we need to make up that third leg of our own stool. The three-legged stool used to be pension, Social Security, and personal savings. Now, for most people, it's just a two-legged stool. And if you ever have tried sitting on a two-legged stool, it might not work out really well.
Okay? Not so well, no.
So we want to try to create another income source. You could take a piece of your savings and put it into an annuity, right? Put in 100 grand, you'll probably make 500 bucks a month, you know, guaranteed. You'll pay you forever, and maybe more, you know. But an annuity can be a great way to provide lifetime income that'll never run out because it's contractually guaranteed, right? So that's one way to do it, right? And so there's a lot of different ways, you know, to slice and dice the apple, if you will. But I think it's important that whatever you're looking at now, you give yourself a cushion. You know, if you need 5 grand a month to retire, you should have at least 6 or 7 thousand a month lined up so you've got cushion for inflation. And that's the biggest thing I'm concerned about is inflation, higher medical costs in the future, things like that. And so I think it's important that we all keep our eyes on these numbers and give ourselves that cushion so even if the government screws it up again, it doesn't derail your retirement.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosure thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member FINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.